The choices you have to make can be difficult and may alter your life forever. When you're under too much pressure, it's hard to go it alone. Now you don't have to. Whether you struggle with anxiety, depression, time management, family issues, relationships, self-sabotage, guilt, shame, or just need some wisdom and helpful insight, this program is the answer. Healing Conversations with Kamish Nunley. Kamish is a licensed mental health therapist with healingyourhiddenhurts.com and who also shares her knowledge as an expert author, speaker, and radio personality. You don't have to just survive. You can thrive. Here's Kamish Nunley.
Welcome to another episode of Healing Conversations. I'm your host, Kamish Nunley, alongside my co-host, Nathaniel McGuire. How are you doing today, Mr. Nathan?
I'm doing really well. I'm excited about today's show.
Awesome. Now, today we are joined by a very special guest who has dedicated her life's work to teaching children about love and acceptance. Please welcome author of The Ultimate Anti-Bullying Solutions Guide, The Surefire Way to Stop Bullying Now, Miss Anita Tella. Welcome to the show, Anita.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. If you'd like to phone in today with a question or comment for our guest, please dial 888-463-6748. To submit us a question via email or to inquire about our advertising packages, we can be reached at hccnquestions@gmail.com. Today's show is brought to you by healingyourhiddenhurts.com and Be Now Fitness. Be active, be fit, be now. Now, Nathan, we were supposed to be moving on to our next series this month, but we have just received such an outpouring of response to our anti-bullying episodes. And so we're going to be continuing that for this month. But we are really excited because we have a few teenagers who have written the show inquiring about what to do with their bullying situations. And I thought it would be great to have my opinion, your opinion, in collaboration with Ms. Tella's opinion, who has ventured into this anti-bullying arena. And one of the things, Anita, that stands out to me most when I was reading on your website is your quote at the top of the page, which reads, "I truly believe that the day we embrace differences or different as perfect is the day we can celebrate the end of bullying." Can you tell our audience today what you mean by that?
What I mean by that is that there is we have a fear of difference, and as long as time has been, and if anyone is different, someone is there to point it out. And I feel that if we as parents and we as teachers and coaches, If we stand up to that, and we say, you know, we're all different, but we're all perfect, I believe that children, and with what I do, I start with children very young. I go to schools and I teach children kindergarten to fourth grade. So my goal is that they will be nicer teenagers when they get into middle school. But I really feel that we have to embrace it and really point out that we are all different but still perfect.
Absolutely. Now, you have recently written The Ultimate Anti-Bullying Solutions Guide. What actually started you on your journey towards writing that book, and what made you get so involved?
It's very interesting. I started, actually, my son, when he was young, when he was actually in, you know, in the younger grades, he was being bullied. And I said to myself, as a mom, what can I do to help my child? And so I started writing children's books and going to schools and teaching anti-bullying messages to younger children. And when my book, my first book won at the San Francisco Book Festival, it was a snowball started rolling, and people started talking to me, and more people started talking to me. Parents started talking to me, and by now my son is, you know, he's older, and he kind of knows who he is. And so parents were asking me, "Why is your son so confident? And what, you know, can you tell us? Can you help us?" And so then I said, you know, they are asking me, and I feel like I would really like to write down my experience and, you know, what I have done and how I was able to help my child believe in himself and teaching him assertive skills. So it was actually, it came from my child, Brandon, who had been bullied. He was born with a cleft palate and a cleft lip, so it made him different. And so that's how it all started. It came from you know, my son, and he was like my inspiration to do this. And then when parents asked me, then I started writing it and had a very good time doing it.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, you mentioned that, you know, this is just, it's more than a handbook. But basically people are in fear of difference. What do you mean by that?
It's quite interesting. We have it with the, you know, one of the things I want to just, with my background is I'm a little girl. I grew up in Norway. And so when I was a little girl, about 12 years old, I started having pen pals from all over the world. And so by the time I was in high school, I had pen pals from many different countries. I had over 90 pen pals. So to me, cultural differences was not that big a deal because it didn't scare me. So my friend in Japan and my friend in Africa, I felt really comfortable with anybody. What I feel that in not only the United States, but in any place where people are not as much open to, but is aware of differences in people and why it is that they're fearful of it. They're fearful of anything that possibly could step in and make them maybe having to change the way they look at things. People are afraid of change. And so when something is different or someone is different, they're at times afraid of that, or they are also can be that, okay, this person is different, this child is different. Now a person that unfortunately has it in them to be bullied, that wants to control someone else, is going to look at that person that is a little different, whatever it is, that's the reason for them being different, and they're going to attack that.
So, Anita, this is Nathan. How are you doing?
Hi, Nathan. I'm doing fine, thank you.
So it's awesome because I hear you talking about the diversity that you experience, which allowed you, I believe it's kind of like it was normalized. Difference is normalized because you were had the opportunity to be in such a diverse situation. And I also want to know, because you're bringing up a very key point about how we educate our children to prepare them for differences. Did you experience that from your parents? You know, did you have a kind of an influence where as you were going through these differences, that they also had an attitude of accepting these differences? So tell me a little bit about your parents and how they thought of differences. Did you have to push past them? Did they have some of these thoughts that were negative and you pushed past that, or did they kind of promote this atmosphere of accepting differences?
No, my parents' story is very interesting. Both my parents, when they were children, 5 and 10 years old, my dad was 10, my mom 5, were in holding camps after Second World War. So they were in holding camps for years, for a few years there, both of them. So when they, as they were growing up, they had this attitude about life, celebrating life, loving life, and they really, you know, embraced love and kindness. And, you know, and they were teaching us, you know, I have 2 siblings, and they were teaching us that. They also were very open to, and, you know, that we are all, you know, pretty much we're all different, but we're all perfect. And I remember as a child, both my parents were very open to the fact that I had my pen pals. They thought it was wonderful. They had time, because I was so young and I had to write in a language that certainly wasn't Norwegian. And so they were helping me and very promoting it and very much involved in me, you know, being who I am today.
So when you were in this situation as a young person, and you had these type of parents with this type of mentality, growing up and the environment you were in, do you remember, was that common to think like that?
You know what? I have to tell you that, you know, it's quite a while ago. But I have to tell you that I feel that, yeah, people that I surrounded myself with, like my five best friends, my closest five best friends, definitely was very much like that. Every single one of them. And every single one of us had, one of my really good friends, was a stewardess for Scandinavian Airlines, that because she always wanted to travel, she always wanted to learn about new cultures, and my other friends too, everybody had that in them, that they wanted to experience the world. So what other people, or, I couldn't tell you, but I know that my core group were all like that.
Well, Anita, when Kamish talked to me about who you were, and we were just kind of going through your resources and just looking at what the message you're saying, we love this because as clinicians, we know it's the parenting that kind of sets the foundation for the perspective of the child. And, so a part of this is when you talk about that fear of something being different, the saddest thing in the world is to realize that is like the essence of being immature and childish, right? Like, they're a different color, so I don't like them. Their hair is different, so they're bad, they are from this country, so I'm scared, that is such a kind of remedial way of thinking. And I think sometimes we forget that a lot of that thinking is in our systems, in countries or in groups where we'll take on this level of thinking and then don't realize how immature it is. So when you deal with kind of some of the people, I noticed particularly, is this geared towards children?
It is. It is. What I said ago, because, my son is, he's going to be 13 next week. And so I kind of, when I started writing the books, the three children's books, when I started doing that and I started going to schools, I feel that for me, I felt like, okay, I'm doing a grassroots movement here. I am so passionate about this that I actually, I was like, I need to get my message out there, because what I was feeling was when I was there with these children, and I'm sitting there in this chair, and here's all these little kids around me, and I'm talking, second, third graders, and they're there, and then they start getting closer to me, and they're really attentive, and they're listening. And one little boy, he said it all. He said, I really never thought about that, what I said, that I should be more careful with my words. Here's a second grader. Wow. And I thought to myself, wow, that is such an opening for me to really, move my message further. And it was just fantastic. And I've had such good results with the younger children. And my goal, of course, as I said earlier, is that by the time they get into middle school, they'll think twice.
Yes.
About bullying. Yeah.
So, Kamish, one of the things that, we're involved in right now are these initiatives of helping educate people, children, how to deal with bullying. What do you think, Anita, is the most important thing you can tell your child to kind of give them this perspective, to help them understand the importance of differences and how not to be afraid of it? What are practical things? Because I hear it sounds like the book, reading them these books, them reading kind of lays that out. So is it that simple that you're saying, that just educating them reading these books, other people's experiences, those are the things that kind of set a foundation for them not to bully?
I would say that it is, it's not easy. Helping your child, it's not that easy. But what it comes, say for instance, if your child, like how I started with my little boy, I was always trying to help him and stuff like that. But when I really started in making a difference in him and him understanding his own self-worth and who he is, was when I started it's a silly little game, but I had about half an hour to drive him to school. And so what I did is I started this little game with him that I called What I Like About You. And on the way to school, I would say to him things that I liked about him, positive reinforcement. He would say back things to me what he liked about me. But it was, of course, it was all about him, but also him being able to express what he liked about me, and also being able to express that at school to some other children, what he liked about them. And so by the time he got to school, he had this, what I call bully shield. Mm. He had this kind of shield around him, a positive energy, and so that he could, he could take on the day, so to speak. And also, I tried to teach him how to realize that what these kids that were bullying him and the things they were saying, that was about them. And he had a choice to take that on. And because he was so little, when I was able to kind of visualize with him and tell him about this bully shield, and it came and then it bounced back, And then it really helped him a lot to do that. So starting at a really young age with that, and also what I would do with him, with my son, I had this, he had these little Legos or whatever, these little characters. And so at one time I took them all, and it was like four or five of them, and I took these little characters and I put them up on the table. And I said to him, I said, honey, I said, roll this ball, and I said, see what happens to them. And he looks at me like, come on, Mom. Well, he rolled the ball, and they all, of course, fell down. And so I said, see, they fell down, now they're a little hurt, huh? And he goes, yeah. And so then I took a glass, clear glass, and I put them in there, and I said, roll the ball. And he rolled the ball, and of course, they're all standing because they have the shield. And so I mentally showed him that, and he saw that, and it really made an impact on him. And he's like, wow, that's true, Mom. I have a choice. And so then what he started saying when he was going to school and stuff, at a pretty young age, he was saying, that's not my thing. And so I started, helping him and working with him. But it's not something that you do, in 5 minutes and it's a done deal and your child is, going to be happy ever after. That's not reality. This is an ongoing process. And as he was growing older, there was other issues that we would deal with. We talked about it. We communicated about it. And he could figure it out.
Mm-hmm. So
this is a lifestyle, I hear you saying.
Yes.
Wow.
An ongoing lifestyle of teachable moments. Absolutely. So it says that you really like to coach parents. Anita, what's the most important thing do you want parents to kind of walk away with after they have talked to you about some type of bullying issues?
Well, the first thing that a parent, is very important is that as long as the parents realize their own power and that they are the mirror for their child. They have to really realize that. A lot of parents doesn't think about, how they react to things, how they react to something on TV. Say, for instance, you're watching, like professional wrestling or something like that, or you're watching something like a cultural thing on TV. The way you speak, what you say, and how you act out, and what you're teaching your child by who you are, and you cannot expect your child to be this loving, open-minded, wonderful little child if you make choices that are whatever, racist or making fun of someone or whatever it is. You can't expect to do that yourself and then have your child be perfect. So you have to really look in the mirror and when you point the finger, three fingers point at you. So start there as a parent. And then teach your child that, yes, this person might be different than us, but they're still perfect. And I know I sound like a broken record, but I really want that message to come out, a little different, all perfect, like really come out there that we do understand that. Because when you teach your child that, your child will accept it. You are the parent. And also for parents to also understand that there is a big difference between being assertive and being aggressive. And so with your child, you teach your child to be assertive, to be able to set boundaries and say, no, I'm not going to do that. And I have a cute little story. I know we don't have much time, but I have a cute little story. She is in fourth grade, and this young boy was coming to their new school. what nobody knew was that this child was being transferred to this school because he was had been so bullied at the other school. So when he came to the new school, he said to himself, he goes, you know what? No one is going to bully me. I'm going to set the stage right here. Right away walked in, and he was like this big one, and he found someone, and he started bullying them. This little girl, fourth grade, you know, a tiny little thing with, you know, little round glasses. She just walks right over to him, and she put her hand out kind of like a policeman will, you know, stop traffic. And she said, stop. Mm. He said, we don't do that here. And he was so taken back, and he looked at her, and then he was like, wow. And so one of the things that I am so passionate about is the power of the bystanders. And all these children, because, see, if the bystander
yes.
stepped up to the plate and they looked at it and they got involved, it shows, statistically it shows that at least 50% of all the bullying would stop. And, you know, so the power of the bystanders, and this is what I'm trying to teach, you know, when I go to schools and stuff, that, you know, you have power. You have an enormous amount of power to be able to say, you know, say stop. And
yes.
so I'm very passionate about, you know, about the bystanders and getting them more involved and understanding their own power. But there's a lot of fear there. There's
Absolutely.
A lot of, oh, my goodness, what if they now start bullying me? But,
right.
you know, so.
Absolutely. You know, I want to go back to this whole notion of the parents, and I think it's really great that you send the message for them to be able to self-reflect and find out what it is that they may be doing that they want their child to be able to take away from things. And Nathan and I, prior to the show beginning, was talking about, you know, how our children and students are suffering as a result of what we would consider, you know, a microcosm of what today's world issues are. You know, Nathan, we talk quite often about fear is always involved when you deal with any type of ism, right?
Right.
And so if you look at the issues, the macrocosm, if you look at the issues that exist in our world today, our kids are getting that in double doses because their school doesn't make up the entire population where, you know, maybe one kid who might be disabled. You look at the world, you know, they have all these different foundations, these support groups that people with disabilities can go to and feel supported and accepted and belonging. But in the school, they're the minority. And so it can feel very isolating and alone. And so just to hear that, you know, you're willing to tell parents, hey, you know, look at yourself. What messages are you sending to your children? Are you helping them to understand that, you know, this is just not a problem with you? This is like a world issue. And, you know, here's some things that we can do to get involved to help you out or help you to feel like you have a place somewhere. So that's amazing to me. Another thing that you talk quite often about is this whole idea of self-acceptance. And I really like that because today, you know, we get, you know, boggled down with this idea of improving our self-esteem. And whenever we talk about improving our self-esteem, we're still creating this atmosphere for, like, burden and not really being able to look at our whole self. But when you say self-acceptance, it really does send a different message because then it says, I'm okay being who I am. I don't necessarily have to change a lot about me. For other people. So what was your idea going into this using self-acceptance, and how do you teach that?
Well, with the, you know, I of course I can only go from me, you know, and my son, and also, you know, the children that I've been around. One of the things that I do with the younger children, you know, I say to them, I said, isn't snowflakes beautiful? Have you guys ever seen snowflakes? And, you know, quite a few of them have, not everyone, because we live in California. But, and I said, isn't it amazing how they are just all different? And I said that every single one of them are perfect in their own way. And they say, yeah. Mm. And I said, that's you. And I said, you are so special and so wonderful. And so then I said, you have to know that about you. Because when you learn and you understand how precious and how special you are, you will have such a, you know, I talk to them about, you know, the life that they will have, you know, how great this will be, and people are going to want it. You know, oh, look at that person. He or she is, you know, they really kind of, there's something different about them. And my son will say, he says, I know who I am. And he said, you know, he goes, I am perfect just the way I am. He didn't believe that all along. But as time has gone by and we have been working on that, and then one of the things that parents need to do is they need to allow their child to be themselves. One of the things that I do teach parents is to do role playing with their child at home if the child is being bullied, to role play with mom and dad when you get home and say, hey, mom, can you be the bully right now? Because, and then they say, okay, this is what the bully told me today. Can you be the bully now? And then I will tell you what I normally say, and then can you help me with that? So what the parents has to step back and allow is for the child to be allowed to be themselves. Because if they try to put their personality and say, well, this is what you do, the child isn't going to use that tool when they get to school because that's not who they are.
Mm-mm.
So you take what the child, who they are, and you help them. And so role play with them. So the parents should role play with them that. And then as far as, you know, that they're special and beautiful and wonderful, you focus on the, you know, every time that when they do something, use positive parenting. And, you know, and instead of saying, gosh, don't do that, say, wow, what other ways can we do that? But use positive parenting, because positive parenting, when you're choosing to do that and help your child with positive reinforcement, they will start believing in themselves and teaching themselves and, you know, self-respect, you know, what they do, that I like myself, you know, they give the peace of mind. And what you respect, you know, is something that you accept. And so, that's how I try to do it with parents and helping them, you know, make sure that the child is allowed to be themselves and be independent and not be so worried about controlling them, but allow also to stub their toes sometimes.
Right. That is so very important. I'm glad you brought that up. With that, we're going to pause for station identification, but when we return, we will hear from our adolescent listeners who want feedback on their bullying situations. Stay tuned.
The effects of trauma can last a lifetime. Pain, confusion, anxiety, depression, grief. Healing Your Hidden Hurts is a safe, serene environment dedicated to guiding you along your journey toward healing. The compassionate clinicians at Healing Your Hidden Hurts can provide the support, advocacy, and expertise to help you move forward again, regain stability. From fear to faith, despair to hope. Visit HealingYourHiddenHurts.com. Speak to a clinician today. Don't go at it alone. HealingYourHiddenHurts.com.
Be Now Fitness is Indy's newest fitness spot, located on the corner of 96 and College. Exercise your right to no long-term contracts, unlimited fitness classes, and nutritional coaching. Be Now Fitness. Be fit. Be active. Be now.
Now, back to Healing Conversations with Kamish Nunley on TalkZone.com.
Welcome back to Healing Conversations. I'm your host, Kamish Nunley, alongside my co-host, Mr. Nathan McGuire, and we are joined today by an awesome guest, Ms. Anita Tella. If you'd like to purchase her book, The Ultimate Anti-Bullying Solutions Guide, The Surefire Way to Stop Bullying Now, please visit her website at anitatella.com. That's anitatelle.com. Anita, you have shared with us some fascinating information regarding bullying and the things that you put into practice with your own children, as well as the children that you go out to and read to in the different schools. I'm really excited because, you know, I've learned a lot from just what you are talking about today, but also about this whole bullying epidemic in total. And so today we actually have a few adolescents who have reached out to us that are currently undergoing their own specific bullying situations. And so my hope is that you, I, and Nathan can come up with some solutions to help them in their journey. So our first one is, he says, I'm slightly autistic and overweight, but I've been trying to combat these issues for the past few years. Since fourth grade, I've been ridiculed for my autism and sometimes strange behavior, which has been improving in how I enjoy eating. Kids talk behind my back and make fun of me on almost a daily basis. Almost every night, I cry myself to sleep because of this, and it's just incredibly painful. I want to talk to people, but it's hard to muster up the courage. Thank you for listening and reading my story. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Nathan, what do you think about that?
Well, first, I want to kind of emphasize some things Anita has shared with us. I mean, Anita, you're a genius. They're just pouring out of you. And I think it's because of, I never forget, I heard a pastor say that your pit becomes your platform, where the very things you're going through begin to give you a strength and a purpose. And so the things that I would emphasize that Anita said to the young man is, man, you are awesome, first of all, just like you are. Just to know that just like you already are, there are gifts in you. There are things you will discover. And I have found even in my life that some of my strength has come from going through seasons of rejection, going through seasons where everybody doesn't accept me and everybody doesn't want to acknowledge or affirm me for different gifts I had. It gave me strength to make it. And then when it was time for me to have a new idea and do something different, I now could do it because of the season that you're going through, where if I was just a person that was seeking approval and happy that everybody likes me, I could not move on to do different things or have different ideas. So we're going to go around here, but I just first want to emphasize that there is something awesome already about you, and for you to learn how to just love yourself even in the midst of these people who you're not getting along with. So we just want to affirm you for calling here. I think it's courageous that you would call here, that you would email and reach out to ask. Some people would never do that. For you to even have to deal with this and be wondering, like, how can I handle this situation? And then just to, when you're crying, that's okay too. To feel sad. And what you don't know is many of the kids, even that are bullying you, are hurt. Mm-hmm. They're going through things. That's what would make them even treat you, you know, in that manner. That to know that they're going through things too. That's why they're being so nasty to you. But we just want to first affirm that there are awesome and beautiful things about you, and to be open to discovering those.
Absolutely. Miss Anita, what would your feedback be?
What I would tell her to do is when she goes to bed at night and she starts crying, to say to herself, you know what, tonight I'm not going to cry. What I'm going to do tonight is tonight I'm going to say all the things that I know are special about me and why I'm so wonderful. I'm going to take my tears and I'm going to put them away for tonight. And then I'm going to say things about myself that I like about myself. I like, you know, I like my hair. I like my nose. I like this about me. I like my sense of humor. I like all these things about me. And then tomorrow night, maybe I won't cry tomorrow night. Maybe I'll do the same thing. And then what I'm going to do, because I know that they are wrong, I know that I'm special, and I absolutely refuse to believe that there is something wrong about me. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to either talk to mom, dad, or another adult, and I'm going to tell them about it. And I'm also going to see if I can go to a teacher at school and say, hey, you know, Miss Jones, whatever, I'm having problems because of my autism, people making fun of me. Could you please consider allowing me, or maybe you could do it so that I am not the center of attention right then, but maybe you could talk a little bit about autism and teach them about it so that they understand it. And the reason, this again comes back to my son. Very interesting, because of his cleft palate and his cleft lip, he has some challenges with his speech, and also he has the scar. And we were walking back, and he was young. He was like 6 years old. We're walking past this little playground. This little girl rolled her little bike over, and she looked at it, and she goes, what's wrong with your face? And he looked at her. I was like, as a mom, I'm like, you know. And he goes, and he looks at her and he goes, there is nothing wrong with my face. When I was born with what's called a cleft palate and a cleft lip. So therefore, I had to have surgery. So that's the reason why I have the scars. And then, you know, I talk a little different because my palate has a little hole in it. And so that's why. And she looked at her and she goes, oh, okay. He educated her. So my suggestion to the young girl is, you know, like, you know, just try to also educate the kids. It's pretty amazing, you know, when you're able to educate someone. You know, like Nelson Mandela said, he said education is our greatest weapon, and it is the truth. Because if we can do that and we can educate, then you know, this is her weapon right now. Educate them, and I believe that she will see a difference.
Absolutely. Wow, incredible. You know, one thing that stood out to me, you guys, was how incredibly resilient this guy already is, right? He endures this, you know, bullying on a regular basis. He goes home, he cries it out, he processes it, but then it always seems like he gets up and he goes back to school. He doesn't talk about wanting to give up. He doesn't talk about, you know, wanting to harm himself or what have you. He gets up every day knowing what he's going to face at school, but he still does it anyway.
Yeah.
And so my message to him would be, look at that strength and use that strength not only to do what Miss Anita has said and Nathan has said, but to realize that you are powerful. You are very capable of overcoming your circumstances right now. Because you have been doing that by facing it every day. And this is preparing you, for life, basically, where you will encounter mean people. And the situations won't always be easy, but just knowing that you got over this hump will allow you to understand that you can get over the next one. So I thank you for writing in today. Our next one here.
Commish, can I add something to that?
Go right ahead.
To the young man, as you know, there's three people here confirming that one of the mantras or things you could say about yourself, if you're finding a hard thing to say positive, I think one of the things you could say to yourself, as Miss Anita has just suggested, is that you could say, I am strong. That's one of the things that you could say about yourself when you go to sleep at night. The other thing I think that is real powerful is for you to study autism so well that you could explain it to someone, to just really research it, study it if you have not already, because one of the things we find out as clinicians is people will have these certain issues or uniquenesses, and because a community has said something's wrong with it, they won't study it, only to find out there's genius within those. So study it, you know, really look at it, educate yourself on what it means.
Absolutely, absolutely. So our next one, we'll call her Stacy. She says, I have been getting bullied ever since the third grade. I am now in seventh grade. I have been talked about badly. I have been made fun of. And worst of all, the teachers have been yelling at me. Over the years, I have discovered that there was nothing wrong with me. It was the other girls. Things are not better yet. I mean, I still have no friends at school, but I now walk into school with confidence. Mm-hmm. I know that I am a good person, and there will be a person who realizes how good I am. Wow. Incredible. Miss Anita, what do you think about that?
Well, first of all, I think it's absolutely, it's just horrible. Third grade, and now she's in seven, and this has been going on for so long, and it's, you know, and it's, unfortunately, it, you know, it happens, and it happens way more than we probably even know. And, and what I would say to her is, good for you. I am so proud of you. How amazing that you have been able to figure this out on your own. How great you are. And the one good thing I can tell you is that when you start, middle school is the worst time. So hopefully that can be a little, a little gift to you, that it's going to get better. But when you stay with what you believe about yourself that you have discovered and that you truly believe, you are going to be okay. And I'm just so proud of this girl that she realizes, you know, that it is the other people, that she's able to say, you know what, that is not my thing. Put my hand up. You know, stop. That is not my thing. That is you. And that she has discovered that. She will be able to seek out and find friends, whatever it is, when she gets into eighth grade or she goes to a new school, whatever it is, that is like her and that is, you know, that has the same interest. And making sure that, you know, that she follow her passion and her interest. She sounds like she has a very strong backbone, and she follows her interest, and then she creates, and for instance, say her interest is piano, I have no idea, but say it's piano, or it's, you know, singing, whatever. She goes to where her interest goes, and when she goes there, she's gonna find like-minded, you know, adult, you know, kids that does, likes the same thing as her, and she start, her life after school, and she start developing, you know, friendships and, you know, in different areas where her interest is, and then it's going to, you know, feel better and be better for her. So I really encourage her to do after school activities and can do that.
Absolutely. Nathan, what do you think?
One of the things that stands out to me is that she talks about how long it's been. And, you know, when we see a kid in a system and they get pegged to something and how it follows them, and just how hard that is that they still have to deal with these same group of people. But, you know, you guys are really just pointing out just the strength to do that.
Right.
And then, you know, also I'm hoping that, I'm wondering, is she talking to her parents? Did it say that in there at all?
No, it doesn't say.
I just want to suggest, and I think everybody's already really suggested this, but to continue to remind you, sometimes our parents can be busy, and we think that they don't have time to really hear us out. And then sometimes we may have suggested or said, like, this is happening, and maybe our parents weren't paying attention. But, you know, be adamant and be very clear to your friends, to your family. You know, when I say friends, I mean even people in your family, that this is happening to you, because we find sometimes that kids aren't really clear, and they may be saying, you know, something's happening, and we don't know how serious it really is. So make sure you're telling people, an admin, your guidance counselors, because one thing that's really hard when you're going through this, you begin to think that no one cares about you. Because when you're bullied and your self-esteem and you're being rejected, you take that, internalize it, and you think the whole world, including God, would think this about you. So make sure you're very clear to people in your family, to admin, that that's happening. Now, with the teacher yelling at you, we don't have to discover what's going on there, but just know that when you're being bullied and you're going through this type of treatment, when someone is doing a behavior that has more to do with maybe an interaction having with you, you will interpret it as they're yelling or doing this because something's wrong with you, or, you know, because you're not good enough, you know. So we just want to encourage you that because of the few that are doing this, that does not mean that everybody thinks the same thing about you.
Absolutely, absolutely. Let's go ahead and take our next break. When we return, we'll learn a little bit more about what's next for Miss Anita Tella. Stay tuned.
Be Now Fitness is Indy's newest fitness spot, located on the corner of 96 and College. Exercise your right to no long-term contracts, unlimited fitness classes, and nutritional coaching. Be Now Fitness. Be fit. Be active. Be now.
The effects of trauma can last a lifetime. Pain, confusion, anxiety, depression, grief. Healing Your Hidden Hurts is a safe, serene environment dedicated to guiding you along your journey toward healing. The compassionate clinicians at Healing Your Hidden Hurts can provide the support, advocacy, and expertise to help you move forward again, regain stability. From fear to faith, despair to hope. Visit HealingYourHiddenHurts.com. Speak to a clinician today. Don't go at it alone. HealingYourHiddenHurts.com.
Healing Conversations with Kamish Nunley continues on TalkZone.com.
Welcome back to Healing Conversations. I'm your host, Kamish Nunley, joined today with my co-host, Mr. Nathaniel McGuire. And we are talking to a very special, passionate person who is very much against bullying and wants to give you practical solutions for how to stop it now. Ms. Anita Tella, can you tell us a little bit about where we can go to find out more information about your books and actually what is next for you and your ventures?
Well, you can find all my books are being sold on Amazon, but you can, if you go to Anita Tella, that's AnitaTelle.com. You can find all the stuff about me. For me, and where my future goes is, I really want to help children. I really want to help parents. And one of the things that I'm doing is that I am offering any parent or any teacher that would consider reading my book in their class, A Little Different, All Perfect, because like I told you guys earlier, I am focused on the younger children. Or a parent that would consider going to class and reading to the child, you know, to contact me, and I will give them a book. I feel so passionate about this. I want to make a difference in the world, and I feel that even if I have to start a grassroots movement and be the only one, I have seen results with showing children compassion and love, and just listening a little bit and giving them some advice. I have seen results. I've seen kids that have been bullied. I've seen their smiley faces because they've been able to conquer it. And reality is that, you know, there was a study done, and I'm going to be really quick, but there was a study done in Great Britain with over 7,000 people at King's College. They followed a group of people for over 50, 60 years, from 1958 to, I believe they stopped in 2008, but they might have continued. Mm. But in 2008, they checked in with these children that they started with in 1958 in school that had been bullied. And they started to check in with these people, now they're 50 years old, to see what are the ramifications of bullying. And they noticed that these people that had been bullied, even when they were 50 years old, it was hanging in there. And they felt they have a lower quality of life. The impact of bullying was they had health issues. They have anxiety, depression. There was all these ugly things that stands with it. So what we have to realize and what we have to do, we have to take, you know, the bull by the horn. We have to say no. We have to say this is not okay. We have to be able to differentiate between what is bullying and what is a prank. Because oftentimes you will have people that, you know, maybe kids are doing a prank. They go over and they throw some popcorn on someone, and then the parents that are, you know, maybe very strong say, oh, my child is being bullied, and going down to school and talking about it and getting their child so that doesn't happen to them again. And then you have the child that is really being bullied, that's continuously being bullied. Mm. Their life is, you know, it's not very comfortable. They are just, again, falling through the cracks. So we have to be careful with that. So my goal is, and where I'm going is, I'm doing some webinars to help parents. I'm doing one-on-one with parents. I'm going to schools. I want to get my message out there. I'm trying to, you know, to just promote this, and very exciting things like, you know, like with, for instance, like Lady Gaga, she just started up a non-profit that she and her mom is doing together to help children that are being bullied. So which is, you know, fabulous that, you know, people are really getting involved. And I'm just, I'm so passionate about this because children should love to go to school. And even if they don't like school, they should at least like to, you know, the recess, you know. But they should be allowed, there shouldn't be a place where they're fearful to go to. 160,000 children doesn't go to school every single day because of bullying. This is going into the workplace, this is going into adulthood. We have to stop it. So I'm just on this, quest to make a difference for the good in children and trying to help parents, on the way.
Anita, first of all, I remember you talked about you don't want to sound like a broken record, but I hope your record stays broke.
Absolutely.
the message that you are, I think, from the depths of your soul saying is so needed to hear. One of the things I think people don't realize is just they don't even know what abuse is, right? So it's just the misuse of power. And, we do that so much and don't realize, one of my favorite spiritual texts is train up a child in the way that they should go and they're old or not, they will not depart from it. And everything you're saying is, hey, parents, and Anita, it seems so simple, right? Teach your kids how to, not bully people by modeling yourself not bullying people. So you're saying it, mm-hmm. but are you modeling it? When people walk down a sidewalk and your child is with you, do they see you run to the other side? You didn't necessarily yes. say those people are dangerous, but your body language taught them that that these people are dangerous. So when you're watching things on TV and all of a sudden you really don't like or you're getting adamant about why you don't like this individual and your child is sitting next to you, your child gets a different message that says to bully that person or to think that person is scary is just, how my family feels. And so therefore I do that too. But I want to know this from you, from the work you're doing, the results that you're getting. Part of my thing is helping people discover their passion and the things that they're created to do. What were the hindrances? What were the things that tried to tell you not to do this work and that would try to stop you from pushing through? Like when you first started this, what were the things that would come to you that would try to say, maybe this is not the thing to do? Can you talk to us about that for any other people out there that want to pursue their passion and be helpful to their community?
Well, with me, it was, first of all, I have to be honest with you, first of all, it wasn't anybody but myself questioning, going, really honestly, is this really, what do I have to offer? There's probably so
wow.
many psychiatrists and so many people that know so much more than we, kind of who am I to do this?
Yeah.
That was the hindrance. My friends, my family, everybody else would go, Anita, if you feel so passionate about it, do it. Whatever you feel passionate about, that is your calling. That is what you're supposed to do. And so I'm just like, okay. So it wasn't anybody else than myself.
Wow.
And for anybody out there, if you feel passionate about something, a kind of a good exercise, and it's kind of like, okay, if you had all the money in the world and you could do whatever you wanted to do, what would you do? And so then maybe that passion is gardening. Maybe that passion is going to schools and help teachers, whatever it is, whatever your passion is. Say, okay, so whatever it was, you have all the money in the world, what would you do? And then you realize that. Now say, okay, I don't have all the money in the world, but how am I going to make it work anyway? Because when you are passionate about something, it will not even look like work. It won't even feel like work. It will be the most amazing thing. It will be, you will have a life that you, when you wake up in the morning, you go, wow, it's another beautiful day. I'm so grateful I'm here and I'm going to make a difference.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I've just been really moved by your passion, Anita. I mean, you have so many awesome things to say about not just the whole bullying aspect, but even finding your purpose. And so I would like to ask you, we have maybe about 2 minutes left in our program today. What would be some lasting words that you would want to leave for parents and children and even church leaders or school administrators?
Well, to the school, number one is staff training and, really definitely, because a lot of schools believe that they have what it takes and that they know how to see, that something is going on and bullying, but they definitely need more training. And as far as parents, you realize you are the mirror and also to teach your child, assertiveness skills. And, mm-hmm. and then definitely take a look at yourself and how you come across, definitely really important. And also to teach your child that maybe is not being bullied or has anything going on, but is a bystander, explain to them, hey, you have power. You know what? If you see Susie being bullied or little whatever it is, you know, you have power to say no, and I'm here for you. When you sit next to your child when you talk to them. Sit next so they can feel your body heat. You don't even have to at times say something, but let them feel your power sitting next to you and get their energy from you. And just, you know, just take it seriously. This is not a joke. This is not something, oh, it has always been going on for thousands of years. It's no big deal. It's something that is just going to happen. They have to just, you know, grow out of it. It's going to be fine. It isn't. The results show that it is not. The results show 50 years later that it's impacting people. Come on, let's wake up here and do something.
Absolutely. Anita, I want to thank you so much for coming on our show today. Your message is absolutely needed for our children, our schools, and all those that are suffering in silence. So I hope you will consider coming on the show again.
I would love to.
Nathan, as always, you're truly awesome, my friend. Thank you so much for today.
I'm trying to be like Anita today. I'm just going to be honest.
You know, sometimes being bullied just makes you feel like you're the only one. And we want to make this a place for you to share your story and receive expert opinions and feedback like you have today. So send us an email with your story to hccnquestions@gmail.com. Thanks for listening to Healing Conversations with Kamish Nunley, where we believe what makes you vulnerable can also make you beautiful. Till next time, take care.